Time to talk home improvement. Angelo is with us in studio. Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT, Remedial Building Consultants and Paint Project Management. As the name suggests, he's a very good person to consult on painting matters, but has also got years of experience in all kinds of renovations. So general segment today, you can ask about absolutely anything. 021-446-0567 if you'd like to call in, or WhatsApps to 072-567-1567. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. That was such a great intro.
Oh, glad you like. Angelo, we were just talking in the gap in the ad break. End of summer, everybody's starting to think about winter and waterproofing and warming their house. But the one thing they've forgotten to do is check the damage that summer did to the house. I'm always mindful of end of the season checking for damage and wear and tear to things that have been exposed to the sun. What should you be checking?
That's very good, because it's not a logical thing to think. When we think of summer, we think of beach and, you know, you don't worry about things that get destroyed by UV and that sort of stuff. But it's a valid point. And there's lots of things. I mean, let's talk on paint side, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hot, wood expands and contracts. If you've got a varnish, wood can crack. And then the elements start getting into those cracks and it starts deteriorating very quickly.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you could look at. Woodwork, all that sort of stuff. Second thing are gaskets. Mm-hmm. Rubber, you know, your window gaskets, for example. If you've got laminated glass, you know, you'll generally find that sometimes you start getting the white or the water coming through that sort of white film that develops between the glass. Well, that's water ingressing through potentially.
Okay.
Deteriorated gaskets or your aluminium frames that shifted over time. You know, for example, what happened today, I was at one of the clients and we opened the aluminium door, brand new door, but long, 2.7 meters yep. long. The wind took it.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
As the wind took it, it hit the rubber. But because the rubber was placed in a very strategic sort of position, or not strategic position, the door actually bent.
As
it bent, you could literally see how the angles almost opened up. So, you know, over time, these things do happen. So you've got to sort of check all those things, because those are the areas where water will get into.
During winter. Okay.
So you need to start looking at those things. For example, go outside if you've got walls with expansion joints in. Check the polyurethane. Is it hard or is it soft to the touch? Has it pulled away from the walls or not? Because if it's pulled away from the walls, water's going to get in there.
Okay.
So there's a lot of those type of things. One can sort of go and have a squiz around your house, check that it's all in order. You know, if you've got aluminium gutters, at the corners, they seal it with polyurethane. And they put, you know, check that. Make sure it's not dripping. Make sure it's not lifting. Another big thing to do, especially around malls and areas with big box gutters, is where they overlap the junctions.
Mm-hmm.
And those junctions always tend to lift.
Okay.
And it's all great in summer, but come winter,
that's where the water comes pouring in. Okay.
So there's a lot of those type of items you need to do, you know, to have a look at. Sometimes your doors expand and contract, your wooden doors. Next thing you know, you've got a gap.
Because
you filed away in summer or in winter because the door expanded, and now in summer you've got this
gap. The wind's coming through. Yeah. You're never happy, are we? Okay, thanks for that. The other thing you wanted to mention was something you said you've come across a couple of times in the last month, with people who think they're being smart and waterproofing balconies and the like. By doing what wrong?
Okay, folks.
Deep breaths.
it's quite frustrating, actually, because sometimes people just don't want to listen. But you cannot waterproof a balcony or a walkway by putting a tile over a tile. Okay. If there's a waterproofing problem, it's generally underneath the tiles in the first place.
Okay.
So, yes, you might be diverting water to a degree and it might be successful for a short period of time. But trust me, your problem has not gone away. So if you need waterproofing, rather than spend money on tiling and having to redo it again later, do it properly the first time. It's important, very important.
Can you ever lay tiles over tiles successfully, Angelo?
Well, you can internally, depending on your space and stuff. There are loads of applications where it can work. But if you're doing it outside because your main priority is to try and waterproof something, you've got the wrong advice and you're on the wrong road. You need to look at it you need to look at waterproofing as a, like a holistic thing. If you take the whole existing system off and put a whole new system back on and tie in under doors, it's a very, it's quite a detailed little system that you need to follow. But as I say, new things work well for a while.
Mm.
So you're going to turn around and say to me, but I did it, you know, and it worked for a little bit, or it's working. And I'm going to ask you the question, well, how long ago did you do it?
Yeah.
You know, and they do tend to fail eventually, and generally quicker or sooner rather than later.
Okay, wise advice. And let us know how those three people you've seen with this problem for the last week or two end up. Okay. Right, listener questions starting to come in on the WhatsApp line, so let's dive straight into those. Hank saying, or asking rather, is it possible to paint over glazed bricks, the glass type finish? None of the hardware stores seem to be able to help me.
Okay. The glazed type is are generally those ones that they use on the windowsills or on the top of the walls. Those are the older type of glazed tiles. You know, those they look like terracotta, brownie terracotta color. So I'm assuming that's what we're talking about. Otherwise, just normal glazed ceramic tile. If the glass type finish, he says.
The glass type finish, the sort of slightly transparent-y looking ones. Yes.
So guys, you can. You need to just get the correct primer. Now, Midas Paints have one, Plascon has one, Dulux have one, Prominent. They all got various forms of primers. Some are twin pack, some are water-based.
Mm-hmm.
The aim is to etch into it. So the first thing you have to do is clean it. Then give it a mechanical sand, or you mechanically sand it. So whether by hand or machine, you just want to break the gloss surface. Then you need a system that can etch into it as well. So you're getting a mechanical and a chemical bond.
Okay.
And then you coat over it. So, you know, the companies do have, and they do have various ones. The ones I've used successfully over the years is a vinyl wash primer. It's a twin pack. It's translucent yellow green. It's a lovely color, actually.
Okay.
But it smells... It's got such a strong odor. You want to make sure that you've got open ventilation, or ventilation, or the windows are open, maybe even a mask to some, because it does stink. But it works like a charm.
Okay, so Hank needs to be going back to his hardware store and asking for a vinyl wash primer twin pack.
That's the product that I would use.
Okay.
And to date, there's never been a failure with that type of product. But you do get other ones, newer technology, single pack products that guys like Dulux and Plascon and Prominent make as well, all the manufacturers, and they should be able to give it to you.
Okay.
I think, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Plascon have one that's actually called a tile primer. It's either Rust-Oleum is another one that can offer you that sort of product.
Okay, so it sounds like you need to find a knowledgeable person in the hardware store, not just the random guy in the aisle who doesn't necessarily know the paint stuff too well. But okay, at least you've got some guidance there, Hank, on what products to ask for. I hope that's enough to get you set in the right direction. Next question is from Mary, who says, does a newly laid asphalt driveway need to be sealed? And if so, how many months afterwards? Some say yes, others say it's not necessary. I'm concerned it won't be watertight and that the base may be damaged if we don't seal it.
No, I mean, if you're laying asphalt, then asphalt is, you know, if the big companies are laying it, like a tar road, et cetera, then what's laid down is generally waterproof. It is a bituminous type system, so it should be waterproof. Where you can find problems is if you go to a hardware store and you buy the cold pack tar, and then you compact that, so you cut your damaged area out. You put in your packet tar, if you want to call it that. You compact it at those edges where they meet. Then generally there you put a bit of bitumen over as well to seal that junction. But generally when you're laying tar on a full system, it doesn't need to be waterproof.
A newly laid asphalt driveway, that would suggest, shouldn't be necessary.
We do, for example, if you've got a tarred surface that is old, very old, there are rejuvenators around that you can apply that make it black and shiny again.
Okay.
You know, those you can, that you want to do, but is that a waterproofing system? No, it's not. It's just rejuvenating the existing surface. So in my opinion, new tar shouldn't be necessary.
Thanks for that, and good luck to you, Mary. Right, Stephen Brackenville says, we stay in an average three-bedroomed house. I was wondering, is it possible to slowly repaint the house by myself, piece by piece? And if possible, what would the process entail?
Yeah, it's actually, painting is one of the most forgiving. Okay, I should be careful what I say.
Since the man whose business is built on repairing other people's painting errors, but for the record. Yeah. Okay.
The guys, painting is generally quite forgiving. Where the issues arise are the cutting in at the corners of the walls, and that process that you follow around that, you know, the finishing, how you want it finished, etc., the type of look. Those are the things you need to deal with up front. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, and painting your room section by section is not difficult. So the first thing you do is you need to get understanding of the color. Where are you going? Are you going from black to white, or are you wanting to go with this illuminous green or this bright red color? The darker the colors, the less the coverage.
Yeah.
So you will need more coats. Okay. The darker the existing wall, you're also going to probably need two coats of white to kill it first. Right. So those are the things one has to look at. Then you've got to look at the preparation. Is it oil-based on the wall? Because some of the houses still have oil enamel on the walls. Then you're using a different primer to the system if it was just a standard PVA.
Right.
The next question is, if it is a standard PVA, is it still good enough that you need to put a primer on, or can you just go over directly with a new coating? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure, that's a lot of information. Then you're going to say to yourself, right, have I got young bubbas around? Do I want something washable, wipeable, or I'm okay with matte walls that don't need to be wiped? Because that affects the type of quality, that affects the washability, that affects a whole lot of stuff, and it affects the cost.
Yeah.
So, and paint, guys, is not cheap nowadays. Good quality stuff is expensive. In fact, I chatted to my paint supplier this morning because he sent me an invoice, and I said, is this my discounted rate? And he said, yes, that's the super duper discounted rate.
Okay.
And it's frightening, guys. It's frightening.
So like everything else, the cost of paint has gone up. Okay. And goedkoop is duurkoop, as
absolutely.
They say.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's all sorts of chemical makeup of paint, and the cheaper you go, the more filler, for example. And so therefore, it retains dirt a lot easier. It breaks down easier. There's so many things to it. So one has to just sort of be aware of what you're doing, how much you want to spend, the colors, et cetera, et cetera. And you can do it room by room. Ceiling, corners, walls, woodwork.
That order. Ceiling, corners, walls, woodwork. You're making notes here, Steve. I hope that this is going to get you started. Ceiling, corners, walls, woodwork. And what you should do perhaps is look for the podcast of this interview. You can listen back to all of those, that list of things Angelo has just run through of the things you need to take a look at before you start the project. So good luck to you, Steve. Right, I have a door hanging problem, says Ricky. The slot in the front door frame where the lock goes in is a few inches higher than the cavity already cut into the door. What other choice do I have besides cutting out another space in the door? So they don't line up, in other words. Yeah.
Well, that's got to do with they either hung the door and they hung it incorrectly, or they just cut it in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And if they cut it in the wrong place, well then, if your door's correct, you have to make another hole. I mean, you're going to have to. It's
no other option than that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the lock in the door is in a fixed position, right? So it's not like you're going to sit and move that lock. You could look and play with the hinges and see if maybe some of the hinges have come loose or something to that effect, that maybe the door is now slightly hanging, etc. And so, but generally, if the hole is in the wrong place and not level, that's a man-made mistake.
Mistake, yeah. Unless the mistake is, Ricky, that you've perhaps hung the door upside down, as somebody is suggesting on the WhatsApp line. Check that. Check it, 180-degree flip, and might that solve the problem?
I'm assuming that it's probably not
if
the case.
If it's a front door, they often, unlikely, but you never know. If it's a solid door with no obvious
If the carpenter's hanging it, all right, the carpenters generally hang the door and make the notches as well. They do that all
simultaneously.
If the door was hung upside down, it would have still been hung. The notch would have still been lined up.
Yeah.
So this sounds to me like it's more likely just a problem a carpenter or a man-made problem.
Arch, and if that is the case, maybe you have a case against the carpenter to make good on it.
Yeah, I mean,
and fix it. Sure,
you know, it's essentially you've got to take the flange off, make new holes, and then what I would do is get an old piece of wood and try and cork it into
the incorrect hole.
Shave it down if you can, sand it or machine, just make it flush and level again, and then have your new holes in place. We don't know to what degree. It could be a few mils.
If it's a few mils or a really substantial issue. Ricky, I hope it's an easy fix. It doesn't sound like it is, but I hope for your case that it is. We have to wrap there with Angelo, but I can see there's several questions we didn't get to today. My apologies for that. What we will do is keep them aside and start with them when Angelo is with us at the beginning of May.
April, May, yes.
I can't believe we're already saying that. But Angelo, keep well until then.
It's not that I'm running away. It's that we're doing a surprise.
Oh, yes, we do have a special show lined up for next month as well. But we'll try and make space for a couple of general questions as well as that one. More to come on that. Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT, Remedial Building Consultants. We'll chat next month.
Thank you. Ciao.